Happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And today we deal with all kinds of aches and pains and sprains and strains as we visit with Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the University of Wisconsin Medical School. And tell you what, we're also joined today by one of the fittest guy that I know here at
of
Wisconsin.
My age, certainly.
Certainly of his age, he's the most physically fit at Wisconsin Public Radio and even beyond, Jim Packer. Jim.
Larry, nice to see you. Thanks very much. And again, we're here because we would like to invite you to join the Wisconsin Public Radio family, and you do that by pledging at 800-383-9772. I'd like to suggest maybe a $10 a month pledge at $120 a year, which will get you the member benefit card. We also have a very special challenge grant that we'll be talking about in just a second. But if you pledge at the $120 level, we'll send you the member benefit card. And I had a nice note from a woman who had used this card with her two daughters. She'd gone to the Washington Inn Bed and Breakfast in Cedarburg for a couple of nights over the winter break, got two nights for the price of one, saved $135 on her $120 pledge. So she's already in the black. And then she doesn't count all the wonderful restaurants I've used the card for, saved even more. What a wonderful perk for contributing to such a worthy service. And we'd like you to get your card right now by pledging online at WPR.org or at 800-383-9772.
And we do have a goal this hour of $12,000. And I tell you what, it's a big goal, but it's one we can make. And we really want to make this goal because we have a challenge grant today from the Wisconsin Physical Therapists Association. I wonder how we got that. I tell you what, we've got a couple of great people here in Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault who come by every month to talk about these kinds of issues. And the Wisconsin Physical Therapists Association said, hey, we'll support them. So here's the deal. If we make our $12,000 goal, the WPTA, Wisconsin Physical Therapists Association, will send us another check for $1,000. And that's a nice challenge grant and one we don't want to miss out on. So if you listen to this program and you've probably heard Lori and Bill many a time, maybe they've had some advice that's helped you out, give us a call now at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org and make your pledge. It's fast, it's easy, and you'll be helping us a lot.
You know, Larry, with a forecast of 3 to 6 inches of snow in our immediate future, it reminds us of the wonderful time that people are going to have at your house on the last Saturday of June, when it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Cajun Cookout at Larry's Bayou. And for a $1,200 pledge, you and a very good friend will be able to entertain yourselves at this party. The menu was revealed last Friday. I can hear the music, and it's just going to be a great, great time. And what is it? When the house is rocking,
don't come knocking.
Exactly.
If you haven't paid your due, your $1,200.
That's right. If you'd like to attend by yourself, $600 gets you in, and we have at the moment 18 spaces left, 9 pairs or 18 singles, however you'd like to do this. But it takes your pledge at 800-383-9772 or go online at WPR.org.
And it wouldn't take long. We just need about 8 or 9 of those calls at $1,200, and we've got our goal.
We've got our goal met, and that's the most important thing because we want to stay on track to make this drive a very successful one. So make your pledge right now at 800-383-9772.
Or go online to WPR.org, and we'll be talking some more about the tell you what, I'll be later on, I will be divulging. I guess it's already been divulged on somebody else's show. But for the first time in the 11 to 12:30 time slot, I will be letting you know what the menu is for the Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou. And I'm here to tell you it's good, it's healthy, it's Cajun, and you're going to enjoy it.
Fantastic.
And that voice you heard was Lori.
Hi.
Hi, Lori Tyne Brody.
You know, I don't know if we should be talking about food so close to lunchtime.
I tell you what, that might get people to call in with a contribution.
Yeah.
You never know.
So when are you revealing the menu?
Sometime during the show, let's say about a half hour from now, we'll divulge the.
So when it's even closer to lunchtime.
Yeah, closer to noon.
It's even closer.
All
it's
right.
even closer. In All the meantime, right. how are you guys feeling? Bill, how are you doing?
Doing well.
No
doing
back
well.
Problems or anything?
Knock on wood, not today. Just freezing cold like everybody else.
Yeah, freezing cold like everybody else.
I tell you, there's probably a lot of people with some back problems and shoulder problems from shoveling that snow last week. Mm-hmm. I live at the end of a dead end, and we had to shovel snow into the back of a pickup truck and hauled it away.
Oh, my goodness.
And I saw two people fall walking over here this morning, so it is slick outside.
Yeah, I tell you, stuff like that keeps us in business.
I tell you what, apparently there are some people in need of your advice. Because
Excellent.
As the caller's online. Let me give that number. If you have a question for Lori and Bill, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890. Give a call. And I think Robert Madison is first up, so let's go to Robert. Hi, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Yes, my radio's turned down. At work, I get a strong tingling in both of my hands, and it's like one of two things, I'm guessing. I do large, heavy work, and my upper body gets kind of, you know, developed and stuff when I'm working. And also, a lot of the material I handle is very oily, and it soaks through my gloves.
Hmm.
And it could be like a pinched nerve. Like in my youth, my arms might go to sleep or something if I laid on them or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the tingling would be quite extreme and annoying. Then between jobs, when for seasonal, it's kind of seasonal work, and then when I'm away from work for a couple of months, then the tingling goes away. It's either associated with either the oils or the extra muscles in my arms when I'm doing the heavy work. And the only thing I'd add to it is I do have probably a remedy if it's the oils, as I found some very, very inexpensive work gloves. They're like leather or canvas, very inexpensive, not much more than $1 since this time. But I'm quite convinced when I go back to a similar job of a similar nature, my arms will, triceps, biceps, et cetera, will become large because I'm kind of a muscular person. And the oils, I simply won't be subjecting myself to the oils. I'll have these inexpensive gloves. What do you think?
Right.
What do you think, Bill?
Between the two, the repetitive nature of your work, the way it sounds, versus the oil, if your gloves keep the oil off your hands, I would wear the gloves and see what happens to the tingling. Probably more likely it's related to the type of work you're doing. And you mentioned it's both hands?
Yeah, both arms.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any tingling in your feet when your hands tingle?
No, it's just the hands from the wrist down. It's annoying. It doesn't keep me from doing little detailed things or writing.
Okay.
But it's annoying.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it'd be very annoying. How long has this been going on?
I'd say for 5 years.
Okay, 5 years.
All right. Have you seen anybody for the tingling?
No, not where I'd work. I wouldn't think of, I wouldn't approach you'd be run out at a moment's notice.
All right. Well, I'm thinking more in terms of seeing a physical therapist or seeing a physician. If you haven't seen a healthcare practitioner for the tingling, there's a lot of things that can be done to prevent these kinds of symptoms from developing. And certainly you don't want to get it worse where you start losing strength in your hands. There can be exercises you can do between your busy seasons. There are exercises you can do before or after work. And certainly we do a lot of educating related to the work activity themselves. Sometimes you can modify a station or modify how you lift or bend or twist that can take a lot of pressure off the nerves that are getting irritated going down into your hands. So there's a number of things you do preventively on the job and then also in between the jobs. And, you know, I would think seeing a physical therapist, even just for a couple of visits, they would examine you and come up with a good program for you. There's no reason to think that this couldn't be diminished considerably.
And good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Robert. Appreciate it. Kay in Madison, it's your turn next. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I went on a trip to Spain for 3 weeks, and it was wonderfully warm. But when I came back, about a day or two before I left, I started noticing some pain in my left knee area, and it got progressively worse. And I've been taking heavier doses of ibuprofen, and it hurt so much, I finally went to urgent care. And I do have a history of wear, you know, like moderate arthritis mm-hmm. in my knees. But this was the first time that I've ever had this kind of pain in one knee.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking with a limp. And the doctor said, well, I could use ice packs if I really needed to. But he said if it didn't get better after another week or so, that then I should talk to my regular physician about a physical therapy referral. And mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of wondering what kinds of things a physical therapist might recommend.
Hmm. Oh, that's a great question. Well, the first thing a physical therapist would do would be to get a history of the kinds of problems you've been having with that knee, and probably a little bit of information about the kinds of things you were doing in Spain that might have gotten that one knee stirred up. And one of the questions is, why one knee and not the other? Because you would think you were doing the same thing with both knees if you were walking, if you were standing or climbing stairs or whatever. So the first thing they would do is kind of look and see the difference between those legs and see if there's some underlying reason for that, a leg length discrepancy, if there was a muscle weakness or inflexibility on one side compared to the other, et cetera. And then they would design a rehabilitation program for that. So if it's underlying arthritis, does physical therapy make a change in the pathology of your arthritis? No. But most arthritis is cyclical in nature, where you have a worsening, usually due to increased activity, which is what it sounds like happened in Spain. So they teach you strategies to prevent that from happening, which usually includes strengthening exercises and information about pacing your activities, shoe wear, things like that. So they would give you a program to help get rid of your pain, decrease your swelling, improve the strength, and then hopefully a maintenance program that will prevent these kinds of ups and downs in the future. So they give you strategies to manage your knee, given mm-hmm. that you have arthritis.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a
All
lot
right,
for calling.
All right, good luck.
Go on a trip like that, you wind up, at least I often wind up doing more walking, and it's fun. You wind up doing a lot
sure.
more walking and climbing and
you
up those down steps
right, exactly.
than you normally do.
Right, and a lot of it is on, you know, hard rock
right.
and concrete, whereas if you're walking at home, it tends to be in short spurts, and maybe you're walking on a softer surface. So it's not unusual at all, like Kay, to go on a trip like this, especially if you have a long plane flight where you sit, that tends to
yeah.
stir up your knee sometimes.
Right.
So you already have a little bit stirred up, then you increase your activity, and you don't want to miss anything, so it gets stirred up. So it's not unreasonable, and physical therapy can help get things back under control and then teach her how to prevent that next time she goes on a trip.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault, our guests today. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dealing with all those aches and pains today with our two guests, Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. A couple of our regulars here on the Ideas Net, and really pleased to have them with us. Give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234. Madison at 263-1890. And let's turn to Julie in Milwaukee next. Julie, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have shoulder impingement, and I'm not exactly sure what that is. Is that bicep tendonitis? And then the other question is, what do I do about it? I cannot take anti-inflammatory, so I'm thinking about what I could do with it in terms of exercises.
Sure. How did you get the diagnosis of shoulder impingement?
I went to an orthopedist.
Okay.
And he didn't actually recommend anything yet. He wanted to wait. I actually saw him also for tennis elbow, which I'm pretty sure is actually snow shovel elbow. And he gave me an injection of cortisone for that. So that seems to be doing okay, though, again, I'm not exactly sure what kind of exercises I should be doing so that I don't get that in the future.
Boy, those are two dynamite questions. Well, there's various kinds of shoulder impingement, and I would have hoped that your orthopedic surgeon explained to you the various kinds of shoulder impingement and educated you as to the causes and treatments for that, because benign neglect is typically not a treatment for either shoulder impingement or tennis elbow, particularly following a cortisone injection. That needs to be followed up with a rehabilitation program. So I would have hoped that he would have referred you to physical therapy for both of those problems.
I can certainly call him and ask him to do so. I'm actually thinking that's not a bad idea.
I think it would be a dynamite idea. First of all, because there are a number of different varieties of shoulder impingement. There's actual a compressive impingement where you compress the rotator cuff between some of the structures. There's something called posterior impingement where you, when you get in a certain position, your shoulder, your rotator cuff gets pinched and your labrum gets pinched in the back of your shoulder. There's secondary impingement due to, there's about five different kinds in general.
Okay.
So, you know, saying, well, you should do this, that, or the other thing wouldn't be useful, because you really need to tailor the program to your profile, to what your
right.
shoulder looks like, the cause of your problem, the kinds of activities that you're involved in, and also considering the issue of your tennis elbow. It's on the same side?
Yes.
Yeah, because many of the exercises you would do for your shoulder are going to also challenge your elbow. So the program
okay.
has to be designed carefully so that you don't worsen your elbow problem trying to fix your shoulder problem. So I would definitely
right.
call back and strongly request a referral to physical therapy for both those problems.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck, Julie.
Yeah. Okay, thanks so much.
You bet.
Thanks a lot for calling.
You know, the idea of having an elbow problem, then a shoulder problem. You know, once you have an injury in an area like that, you compensate. You know,
yeah.
If it's not treated aggressively and appropriately right off the bat, you compensate, and then problems can develop elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example of, you know, who knows which problem came first, but
right.
your shoulder hurts, so you change how you do things, and then you develop an elbow problem, and you keep going, you develop a wrist problem, and then you develop a back and
yeah.
neck problem. And
caught in the vicious
pretty soon
cycle.
You're laying in bed.
Exactly.
Get up.
Right, calling the show.
Exactly, you're calling the show, having someone else dial for you.
Oh, boy. Lee in Elk Grove, it's your turn. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, too. Actually, I'm from Elk Grove, but I'm driving in Wisconsin because I cross-country ski up here all the time. And my question's related to skiing. I fell both in early November and in the middle of December heavily on my left shoulder and got intermittent pain. I can ski fine, but I'll be sitting some time and pain will go up to maybe a 7 or 8 or 9 even on a scale of 10. And since I'm doing the Berkey in less than 2 weeks,
no.
What do I do between now and then?
Yeah. Well, don't fall anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the
okay.
first thing. Yeah. Yeah. We should have called in the December show, given us a little more time, or even the January show. But did you land directly on your shoulder, or did you land on an outstretched arm?
No, I landed heavily on the outside of my shoulder,
on the outside
all
of
my
your
190 pounds.
Okay. All right. Because different things tend to happen with those different mechanisms of injury. What typically happens when you land directly on the outside of your shoulder is you sprain your AC joint. You know, that joint on the top of your shoulder that sticks up.
Okay.
And between now and when you do the Berkey, you know, you're basically about pain control. You can do a little bit of light shoulder strengthening. But in terms of doing any kind of big rehab that's going to get you ready in 2 weeks at this point, it's not going to
okay.
happen. So what I'd probably do is I would do some light strengthening for my shoulder, just raising your arm straight out to the side to 90 degrees, straight forward to 90 degrees, and then halfway in between raising up to 90 degrees with something very light, you know, 1, 2, 3 pounds. Well,
something heavier.
You know, people typically use a soup can, but that large grip tends to give you tennis elbow.
Oh.
So using something with a big grip. So I usually recommend people use something like a 16-ounce hammer. If you have a 32-ounce hammer that has that narrow grip, just make sure the coast is clear as you're raising it around
right.
you.
Yeah, don't nail anybody.
Yeah, you know, and if nothing else, you can take a couple soup cans and put them in a tube sock and grip the middle of the tube sock and raise that. But find something light, just a couple pounds, and raise no higher than 90 degrees to fatigue.
I appreciate that. And I want to thank you guys for having Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about a 5-hour drive to where I stay in Monaco most of the time, and God bless you for being there while I drive.
Oh, thank you.
Lee, the other thing as you exercise is the main, you know, Lori talks about exercising to fatigue, and that's exactly what you want to avoid, any sharp discomfort or catching. If you get that, you're typically you're raising too high or you're going too fast. And also, you're probably doing it already is during the night, you want to try to stay off that shoulder. I imagine it's waking you up if you roll onto it.
It's so intermittent, yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can use pillows to pack around you to help you stay off that side.
Good luck. Thanks, Lee.
Any ice at all? Use ice on it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Ice is always good, especially after a bout of activity.
Yep.
All right, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And good luck. And good luck at the Berkey.
Yeah, well, boy, that's the first time in a long time they've got a lot of snow.
Yes, tons of snow.
Yeah, there's plenty of snow there. Judy and Gresham, it's your turn now. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I also am complaining about tennis elbow, even though I do not play tennis.
Mm-hmm.
I think mine comes from splitting and hauling in firewood.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm going with benign neglect because it isn't very bad. But my question is whether or not it's the splitting or the hauling in. I haul in my firewood with a sling.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the weight of the firewood, and I'm hanging onto the handles, and it's down like about my knees. So I can't decide if it's that movement or the actual swinging of the axe to split the wood that's causing the problem.
I'd suggest
the combination.
It's probably both.
Yeah. Combination.
We split and haul our own wood, too, and I'm actually suffering right now from a wrist problem from hauling wood. So it's probably some of both. Tennis elbow tends to get worse with gripping. So when you're gripping and carrying something heavy like that sling loaded down with wood, it puts a lot of stress on your elbow. But you're also gripping the axe when you split, and also when you hit the wood, there's that vibration, that force of the axe hitting the wood, that's very hard on those muscles as well. So I'd say it's a combination of both. One thing you can do is you can think about getting a wrist splint. It just slips, you know, it usually has a cutout for your thumb, and your hand is basically free, but it stabilizes your wrist and takes some of the pressure off of the muscles, because they're actually the muscles that function at your wrist, not muscles that function at your elbow. Yes. And there's also what's called a tennis elbow strap that you can put at your elbow to take some of the stress off the attachment of those muscles right at your elbow. So that will help also. And then some stretching and strengthening exercises for those muscles. But I can tell you honestly, it's going to be hard to completely get over it as long as you're still engaged in hauling and splitting wood.
Because that was my other question.
Yeah.
It would be possible for me to really decrease the amount of splitting that I do just by burning bigger hunks of wood, because my wood is split. I just split it a little more. And I have two of these slings. So I could haul the wood in it with much less weight.
Yes.
That would help as well.
Both of those things would be a good idea?
Those would both be a good idea, but I would still do some stretching and some other strengthening exercises, because in the case of tennis elbow, as you said, benign neglect, just stopping the offending activity often is insufficient, because you use that hand so much to grip during your day. You open doorknobs, you carry milk cartons, you grip a pen to write. And all those things tend to perpetuate the problem in the absence of a good rehab program. So I'd consider that as well.
And Judy, the wrist splint and the forearm strap, you should be able to get it at most drugstores if they carry cervical collars.
Right, I have seen those at my local.
Okay.
And your wood will burn longer, only not as hot.
Yeah.
With the larger pieces of wood.
Actually, I haven't found that to be true with this particular batch of wood that I've got, which is why I'm splitting it.
Yeah.
When I bring in the whole round piece, it burns very, very hot.
Sometimes it depends upon the kind of wood.
Yeah,
right.
What kind
There's
of you
some
got?
Kinds of wood burn a lot hotter.
I'm not quite sure of these on-split ones. They might be ironwood.
Well, I don't know anything about ironwood. That's out of my league.
Ironwood is kind of a scrap hardwood.
It's a very hard, heavy wood.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, because they're very difficult to split.
Yeah.
All right. Well, try to minimize the amount of work you're doing as much as you can, Judy.
Yeah. And if you're still running into trouble, see a physical therapist for a couple sessions to get instructed in a rehab program.
And thanks a lot for calling. And Cindy in Eau Claire, you are next. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I was wondering if on an x-ray, if arthritis can look like a bone.
If it can look like a bone?
Yeah.
Well, arthritis, late stage arthritis, includes a bone spur or an osteophyte.
Okay.
So there's extra bone laid down where there shouldn't be bone. Can you describe to me what you saw or what you were told?
Well, you're talking about compensating earlier. I pulled 4 muscles all up my leg, and I was on crutches for about 7 weeks.
Ouch.
Yeah. And I went to physical therapy, and then when I was done with that, about 3 weeks later, my ankle really had sharp pain in it. So I went and they took an x-ray, and on the outside of the foot, beneath the ankle, there's a kind of a triangular bone. And she could feel it on both sides, although they just took the x-ray on one side. And she couldn't tell if it was arthritis or if it was a bone that I have that nobody else has.
Oh, an accessory bone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or arthritis? Well, the radiologist who read the report, who read the radiograph, should say what they found. So if there is an extra bony prominence, they will say that it's either, you know, sometimes an extra bony thing is called an os. It could be an os of some sort. And if it's arthritis, you know, arthritis doesn't show up that fast,
right.
You know, such as in a spur or something like that. Those usually take months to develop. So it's not going to just show up overnight at one point. So
So it would have been hurting for a long time if I had a spur.
Well, most likely, or you would have bouts of stiffness, periodic stiffness. But classically, on an x-ray, arthritis shows with decreased joint space. Your joint space is smaller. And then the bone on each side of the joint can become whiter, more bone is laid down, some sclerotic changes. And then at times you can get a bone spur or an osteophyte. But as Lori said, that takes months and months and months to develop.
So if you have questions about it, you should go back to the physician who ordered the radiograph, and they should have the report from the radiologist who read it, and they should be able to tell you what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Great.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Yep,
you
thanks
betcha.
A lot for calling. Appreciate the call. And let's see. Where are we going next? Let's go to Cheryl in Owen. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm hoping you can give me some advice and some solutions to my problem. I've got in both of my thumbs, down in the pulpy part, the fleshy part of my thumb, where the thumb actually joins the hand and the wrist there, it's very, very painful. And my husband is disabled, so I do a lot of pushing and pulling on a wheelchair. And the handle of that wheelchair fits into the palm of my hand right where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And my left hand is a little bit worse than my right. I also have 3 donkeys, chickens, and cats and dogs. And so I'm also doing a lot of pulling and tugging on bales of hay, 50-pound bags, and that sort of thing. So my hands get a lot of daily use and abuse. And recently I had an x-ray of my hands, and I'm not sure what the material is in that joint. It's not like, you know, like a ball and socket joint, but I don't know if that's a cartilage in there, but particularly on my left hand, that material has worn away.
Sure.
And the gap is closing, and it's becoming closer to bone on bone, and there is a little spur on my left hand. On my right, it's not quite as bad as that, but my activities aren't going to lessen from day to day, and so I guess I need some advice as to what I can do.
Well, you just nicely described for Cindy what the development of arthritis is in a joint, with the loss of the cartilage that's in that space, so the space becomes narrower and narrower, and you begin to develop spurs, and it happens over time. So apparently you've seen a physician for this who took a radiograph.
Mm-hmm.
What was his or her recommendation?
Well, I'm waiting for the letter.
Okay.
My physician was going to look at it, and then she was going to forward it to to a radiologist,
okay,
and then get back to me.
Okay.
You know, and I haven't received that yet.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. I would recommend, given the high level of demand on your hands, that you see a certified hand therapist for some strategies to help minimize the stress there. At a minimum, when you're pushing the wheelchair, you should have padded gloves, like a bicycle glove.
That's what went through my mind.
Yeah, okay. That'd be very good for things like pushing the wheelchair.
Okay.
And in terms of the gripping and carrying, there are a number of thumb splints that you can wear that will still allow you to do your work. And that's where a certified hand therapist would come in to help you sort through the various kinds of splints that are available, and that's going to help decrease some of the stress on that thumb. That's a very common site of degenerative joint disease, up there with knees, hips, and ankles, is that joint of the thumb. So it'd be good to try to preserve the health of that by decreasing some of the loads using splints and other kinds of tools and devices to minimize the loads with your work day.
Okay.
So that's where I would go with that.
Yeah, Cheryl, if you look in the Yellow Pages, there's the hand specialists many times are listed separately.
Okay.
If you don't see a hand clinic listed, you could call a local hospital and see if they have a hand clinic, and if not, if they know of one in the area.
Okay.
Yeah, but I would, but today I would start with the bicycle gloves and at least get that going. And you may be able to find something at your local drugstore, a thumb splint, to just help take some of the load off that thumb while you're, you know, baling or hauling hay and things like that.
Yeah.
And just see how that works for you.
Now, I know that there are joint replacements, and my husband has had hip replacements, and that's more of a ball and socket sort of thing that, you know, is pretty common to replace. And I know that they, you know, do finger joint replacements, I believe, but I don't know about, you know, the thumb area.
They do, and that's it's a very common. In terms of the hand, that's the most common site to have joint replacement surgery.
Oh, really?
Is that joint that you're talking about? Yeah.
Oh,
so it's done fairly commonly, and it's fairly successful.
Okay. I imagine the recovery time might be quite long like an ankle is, or
you need a lot of help.
You'll need to get some assist.
Especially with the work demands that you have, your level of rehabilitation would be different than people who aren't involved in such strenuous work using their hands.
Right.
Good
luck. I think characteristically too, it's that for years I've been working with a computer and typing, and so I have that chronic pressure on that joint too. So, that helps a lot.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Cheryl. Lots of work ahead for you. Tim in Eau Claire, it is your turn. Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling.
Hi, everyone. Thanks a lot. This is great timing on this program because it's the beginning of the year and I have a high deductible health insurance plan. So, what's been going on is for about, probably the last 4 to 5 months, I've been experiencing hip pain on my right side. I work out probably 5 days a week or so. And I first noticed it when I was doing a modified hurdler stretch, when I'd have my right leg tucked in and be going down. I started experiencing a lot of pain. So, you know, the old adage, I went to the doc and he said, you know, it hurts when I do this. And he said, quit doing that. So I quit doing that. But I'm still experiencing the pain. I've kind of modified the workouts a little bit and things, but I noticed it's still sore. Not as much, as when I was doing that stretch. And particularly when I'm in the car for a while, when I get out, it really stiffens up on me. And I've been working out for about 26 years, and I'd really hate to stop completely, but is there any other stretches, or is it that what it's going to take? Is it just rest?
Well, you don't want to stop your workout, but it may take some modification of your workout and some specific exercise to get at what the problem is. So has your hip pain, has it been diagnosed?
Like I said, it's only been going on for 4 months.
Okay. All right. Well, that's especially if it's going on for 4 months, and it's good that it's better, but obviously it's still there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim, what I recommend is seeing a physical therapist, have them examine you. There's lots of structures in and around the hip that can be pain generators, and there's a variety of different exercises that stress the hip differently. So some exercises may be great for you and help mm-hmm. take care of your problem. Others could simply make it worse again.
Yeah.
And, you know, an examination and a couple of visits should be enough to, one, examine you, establish a diagnosis, take a good look at your workout program, and make any modifications necessary, both for the short term as well as the long term.
Okay.
So if you go in, you know, to kind of go in with the idea of describing and explaining what your workout program is along with the specific symptoms that you have, and they should be able to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Yo, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Stephen Brown Deere, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a issue. My ring finger on my right hand, it feels like there's a tendon thing going on. I'm not quite sure how I did it. It may have been when we got a lot of snow early in the winter and I was holding my snowblower handle on that side. If I could describe it, it's kind of like a straw that has bubbles in it, if that makes sense.
Oh, interesting. A straw that has bubbles in it.
When I wake up in the morning, it's really bad, and I can't close that hand, and it kind of clicks a couple times, and then mm-hmm. I can close it, and then it's okay. So I'm mm-hmm. wondering if it's tendons, if it's carpal tunnel, or what's going on.
No, it's not likely carpal tunnel. It's more likely, as you suggest, a tendon thing. And it's interesting you talk about the straw in the bubble. It could be a weak spot in the tendon, which is not unlike a little bubble. And then the hand is a remarkably finely tuned instrument in terms of the mechanics of the ligaments and tendons and how they all work together. So as you flex and extend, there can be some catching as one of those a little herniation, so to speak, in the sheath of the tendon catches on another static structure. And it may be that during the day as you're moving and using your hand, you keep the tendon lubricated because a lot of those tendons glide in a sheath that has fluid in them. But at night when you're not moving, the fluid just kind of sits there and accumulates, and then it gets stiff until you loosen it up again. Given how much most of us use our hands, I would recommend seeing somebody to get a definitive diagnosis. You may need to splint for a while. You may need some specific exercises. You may need some specific soft tissue work to get that tendon back going again. But it's been going on long enough where I think you should get a better diagnosis than you know, kind of a bubble and a tendon thing and get it taken care of.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Steve. Lori Tyne-Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, one of our guests, the other Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking aches and pains with Lori and Bill today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and Jim Packer joining us again. And Jim, well, I tell you what, we've raised $731.
That's right, towards our $1,000 goal, which was to get the first $1,000 from the Wisconsin Physical Therapy Association, and we're about three quarters of the way there. And we have a $12,000 goal for the entire program. So we've got some distance to make up here if we're going to succeed in this goal. And it starts with your phone call right now at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org. You decide how much you want to give. Whatever amount is comfortable for you is welcome and appreciated. Let me suggest to you $10 a month, which would get you the member benefit card. And it's a card that will entitle you to 2-for-1 dining benefits at a number of restaurants in Madison, or in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. And also 2-for-1 overnight
at bed and breakfast
in Wisconsin and Minnesota and also in Illinois. Some shopping benefits as well, some online shopping benefits. So it's a card that is growing in importance, and it's yours with your pledge of $10 a month at 800-383-9772.
Or go online to WPR.org. And you know, Jim, I was thinking about it. Some of those bed and breakfasts are in the Madison area. Now, if a person were to contribute $1,200 during this drive and had a partner, and they were going to come to Larry's Cajun Cookout and Larry's Bayou, I guess is the proper title, mm-hmm. they could probably stay at one of those bed and breakfasts for half. That would cover about $120 right there.
And if they stayed two nights.
If they stayed two nights, that'd be $240.
That's
that
right. That's right. Off of the $1,200.
Off the $1,200.
It's an excellent investment for you. And it takes your phone call right now at 800-383-9772. I think we said there were nine pairs or 18 seats at the table. And I know that the menu was given out.
Oh, the menu is, yes.
For this affair on June 26th, is it, at your house, Larry?
It's actually June 28th.
All right, that's the last Saturday in June.
And, you know, I hear the music again, Jim. It's coming to me. And, you know, it seems like the perfect time to talk about it. Since the music is here, I don't know where it came from, but it's here. It's in the background. And Tim Hall, who is a Cajun cook, and has done many, has catered many, many a Cajun outing, will be catering at our home, my home and Renee's home, and we'll be having, here's the menu now, we'll be having some gumbo. What would it be without gumbo? And here's one I hadn't thought of, but Tim's going to do it. Cajun deep-fried turkeys. Now, there'll be 40 people there, and he has a pot that is 72 gallons.
It's a big pot.
Wow. That's a big pot. And he will be doing that, and everybody can come and stand mm-hmm. around and watch while he's laboring. And I don't know how many turkeys you need for 40 people, but you need a few. You need, mm-hmm. I don't know, how many turkeys. Anyway, he can do a lot. He could probably do 10 turkeys at one time, would be my guess, if he had to, in a 72-gallon pot. So we can watch him do that. He's got Cajun corn. He's got dirty rice. He's got green rice, a vegetarian entree there. And then dessert, sweet potato pecan pie with chantilly cream.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
$600 gets you a seat at the table. $1,200 brings a friend or your special spouse. You know, you make your decision as to whether you're coming alone or you're bringing somebody with you when you call us at 800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org and make your pledge there, because it's secure. We do not rent your name. We don't sell it, trade it, or do anything, but keep it safe. And so why not join this Wisconsin Public Radio Association of listeners?
And I just completed a fairly extensive, remodel in my home. So we've got that all ready to go. I've got put a lot of money in a sound system that actually pipes outside. I've got these speakers set up outside. I put in a new brick patio. And Cheryl Gasser is going to be there, Joy Cardine, Gene Faraca, and then a couple of my regular guests, Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the UW Vet School, will be there to converse with you, as will Scott Craven, UW Extension Wildlife Ecologist. And Scott, since he has a boat just like mine, I'm going to put him in. He's going to be Captain Craven, and we'll send him around the lake. Our lake home, and he can show the sights from. You can see the house from the water.
You can see the dripping moss from the water.
That's for a $1,200 contribution for a pair, and we could use a few of those because we have a big goal, $12,000 for the show. We make our goal, then we receive another $1,000 from the Wisconsin Physical Therapist Association. So that's very important, and one of the reasons I've been kind of pushing a little bit on this $1,200 contribution, and frankly, maybe you could afford a $5,000 contribution, or we've had a couple of $10,000 contributions as well. That would really put us over the top, a $10,000 contribution. But I tell you what, not everybody can afford that. Maybe you can afford $10 a month, though, and a $120 contribution. We'll send you the member benefit card. And it's very important for us to meet this goal. I'll tell you right now, if we don't meet the goal of $12,000, we don't get the extra $1,000. So here's the number to call, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. You are the most important source of financial support for Wisconsin Public Radio. You listen to the station. The station is listener-supported. We ask you to help pay for the service that you use. So call us at 1-800-383-9772.
Larry, we got to thank Richard in Hortonville, who's one of the brothers that make up the Honky Tonk Twisters band. It's an excellent band, and these four brothers have been playing rock and roll music for a long time, and they are farmers, and so they listen to Wisconsin Public Radio in the barn every day, and so called in with a pledge, and they noted they'll be in the Crystal Corner in Madison on May 3rd, if you're interested in their music. But that's the kind of call that we're looking for, is a renewal call, or if it's your first time, you might think of maybe $5 a month is a level that's comfortable for you. Whatever is comfortable is welcome and appreciated, but we do suggest the $10 a month pledge, which will get you the member benefit card, and that'll get you the one-year membership in Wisconsin Public Radio. It'll also get you dining benefits throughout the state, performance and attraction benefits, and as well as the two-for-one admission at symphonies, online shopping benefits, bed and breakfast benefits as well. But make their call right now at 800-383-9772, or just go online and make your pledge at WPR.org.
It's always fun when we have Lori and Bill on the program. They offer great advice every month. How many years have you guys been doing this?
It's at least 12 or 13.
Yeah. 12 or 13?
Yeah. No, we're in double digits for sure.
Well, let's say 12, because I can do the math on that one. So that's 144. 12 years, 12 once a month, that's 144 visits, roughly, say 150 times that they've been on the show. That would be 150 hours plus another, how many hours is that, Jim? Another 75 hours. 225 hours is what it sounds like to me anyway, of advice. Now, when you go to a physical therapist, and you know, you're going to pay, is probably the value of a physical therapist's time is pretty good. So you might want to put a little value on that and say, well, gee, maybe it's $2 a show.
There you go.
Maybe it's $2 a show for 100. That'd be a $300 contribution. Or maybe it's $5 a show, and that'd be a $750 contribution. And if you're that high along, you might as well go to $1,200.
That's right.
And join us at the Bayou, at the Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou on June 28th. That's in the afternoon. It's a Saturday, by the way. And we'll start, I don't know, about 3 in the afternoon thereabouts, and go till who knows when. And there's only 18 tickets left, so there's 9 pairs of tickets. And I got to tell you, they're going to be gone. They will be gone. Once they're gone, that's it. We don't have any more. So if you've been thinking about it, don't wait. Call 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. We heard from Leon in Pewaukee. He's been listening for 60 years, really appreciates this program. And, you know, we have a few people out there who specifically say that they tune in for this 11 to 12:30 time slot, and a lot of people who say they like Lori and Bill.
Think how many times someone has called in, had a question or an answer, and then someone has called to amplify on that and provide a little additional information. It just shows the community of listeners that's out there. And we want to make sure that if you're in that community, that you're supporting the programming that you're listening to, because that's how it works. You listen, it's listener supported. You make a call at 800-383-9772. Pledge whatever amount is comfortable for you. Maybe it's a dollar a day, $365 a year, or maybe it's a $1,000 pledge. You can do that. Other people have done it, and it just depends on what level is comfortable for you, but it's so important that we make the goal of $12,000 for the program, and we've raised about $2,200, so we're on our way, but we need to hear that phone ringing once again.
Hey, there went a pair of tickets, Jim. A pair of tickets just went. We're down to 16 now, so we have 8 pairs left because someone said, hey, I've got to get in on this Cajun cook-off. The moss. Did you say moss hanging from?
I think it's the dripping moss from the sycamore tree or something like that. I know that it's going to be jambalaya and a crawfish pie and filet gumbo, because tonight I'm going to meet my share of mio, pick guitar, fill fruit jar, and bigayo. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun at Larry's Bayou.
And as Jim likes to say, if you haven't contributed and you're going by Larry's place,
go by Larry's house and the house is rocking. Don't come knocking.
All right. 1-800-383-9772, the number to call. 1-800-383-9772. 888-383-9772. Boy, it really helps when we get a $1,200 contribution like that, pushes things up a little bit. Maybe you can help out with a $120 contribution. That'd be fine, too. Or maybe you can afford $5,000. That'd be fine, too. We could certainly use it to meet our goal. And we want to meet that goal to reach our challenge grant goal of $1,000. You're adding another $1,000 when you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. And if we've got enough of those $120 contributions, we make it. If we've got another six or so $1,200 contributions, we make it that way, too. Mm-hmm. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. You know, we'll be going away in a minute or two. But Lori and Bill will be with us after our news break to talk some more with you and answer your questions. I know there's a shin splint question coming up from Marilyn in Bayfield County, and she'll be holding on. I'm sure shin splints, splints aren't any fun at all. I know that. And it's a lot more fun here when we hear the phones ring. And when you call in with your contribution, it really helps to vote for this particular program, for this topic, and for all the shows that we do from 11 to 12:30. We do a lot of advice-type programs during this program, how to, you know, fix your house, how to fix your body, how to fix your car, how to make yourself a little wealthier through sound investments. We look at your health in a number of different ways. We're looking for a little financial health right now from you at 1-800-383-9772. It's 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org, WPR.org. Don't wait. Call in now, and we'll be with Lori and Bill right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network. Talking aches and pains now with Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. Marilyn in Bayfield's been waiting a long time, so let's go to Marilyn. Marilyn, hi. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
Well, I've got a couple of things. For about the past, on and off, I would say a couple of years, I've been having trouble with pains in my shins. And I have gone to everybody under the sun, you know, a physical therapist, and that has helped a lot. Well, in part, it has. Pilates exercises help a lot. And one thing that was discovered is I needed a shoe with a wider toe box because my toes were being scrunched. Now, I don't know if there's any relationship here.
Mm-hmm.
So my two-part question is, could you suggest anything I can do in the way of exercise? And also, I'm thinking of making an appointment with your sports medicine people and where I would begin with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. What do you think, Lori?
Right. Well, you said you've seen a physical therapist and that you're also doing Pilates. So,
right.
You know, your question of what exercise would you do, you know, it's kind of like taking a shot at a dartboard because I don't know what you've done, you know, what the results of your physical therapy evaluation were. You know, typically for shin pain, and it's only one shin or both shins?
Mainly one.
Okay.
On rare occasions, the other.
Okay, but mainly one. So again, the question is, why are you having so much pain in one shin and not the other? So I would hope that the physical therapist has done an examination pretty much from tip to toe, trying to figure out why you're having problems on one side. And it, part of it is a physical exam, but another piece of it is the history of how you move and what you do. Because sometimes people are in somewhat unilateral occupations where, because of the kind of work they do, they spend more time on one foot than the other, or one foot is doing more work than the other because of the nature of their job or their avocation, whatever. So the physical therapy would focus a lot on the history and then the physical exam and trying to put those pieces together. For shin problems, a lot of times we look at the feet. The shin problems can start from the foot and go up, or they can start from the low back and hip and work their way down. So you kind of have to sort out how that contributes. The fact that the Pilates helps makes me think that there is a hip and a more proximal component. The fact that the change in your shoe wear helps makes me think that there's a distal or a foot contribution to it. So, you know, those things being said, I think if you're still struggling with symptoms, having an examination by someone else who specializes in sports is certainly a reasonable thing. And if you want to leave your name and number with Jim, we can get in touch with you and let you know how to navigate that system.
Okay.
And Marilyn, when you go in, make sure you bring in the footwear that you typically are in. Or if there's a couple pairs of shoes that you often wear, bring those in because that may help the therapist as well.
Okay, Marilyn, I'm going to put you on hold, and Jim Packard will get your number, and we'll get back to you. I won't, but Lori will. Carrie in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Carrie.
Hello. I overextended my toes forward, like upwards. I was originally diagnosed as having plantar fasciitis, and he said do all this stretching, but it wound up being myofascial pain, like kind of throughout. But before I started physical therapy, I kept trying to stretch everything. And I stretched too much. And now if I go up on my tippy toes even just a little bit, I have like nerve pain in my foot. Mm-hmm. And it helps if I walk on my foot, the nerve pain, you know, subsides. But I was wondering if there's anything I could do to, I don't know, tighten them back up or somehow relieve the nerve pain.
Isn't that interesting? So often we get questions that require people to stretch out tissues that are shortened. We don't deal that often with tissues that are lengthened that need to be shortened, but it is an issue throughout the body, some areas more prone than others. Another example of that would be in the upper back where people have kind of a round-shouldered posture. Many times the muscles in their upper back are too long and need to be shortened. Probably the best way to shorten a lengthened tissue is by strengthening it. So strengthening exercises, particularly relatively vigorous strengthening exercises, tend to shorten and increase the proportion of connective tissue in the connective tissue. So strengthening exercises for your toe flexing muscles, easy ways to do it. Spread a towel out on the floor in front of you, like a hand towel. Maybe put, something that weighs a pound or two on it and place your heel on the floor, the ball of your foot in the towel, and pull the towel with your toes towards you. Picking up marbles or pencils with your toes. Resistive exercises, for example, if you took a piece of, we have resistive bands. So if you put resistive bands underneath your toes and pull it down with your toes, those are all ways to strengthen it. So strengthening it is the best way to shorten a tissue.
Mm-hmm. And this all can help. It won't happen very quickly. Usually it's faster just to stretch out a tissue that is too short. It takes a longer period of time to tighten up tissue. So don't get discouraged. You know, I'd like to
keep at it.
Right, success would be comparing yourself to a month from now and then a month after that. And then hopefully you sense that there is some changes occurring.
Okay, good luck.
Can I ask one question? If the ligaments are loose, will they ever tighten back up?
They can. They can. Yes, they can. It's connective tissue, and connective tissue will change over time based almost directly upon the kinds of loads that are placed on it. So as long as you're not continuously stretching them back out and they spend most of their day in a shortened position, they should over time, and it's a long time because changes in things like ligaments are very slow. The turnover is very slow, but they should shorten up.
Good luck. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for calling, Carrie. And Jenny in Milwaukee, it's your turn, so we'll go to you next. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I wonder if you can please give me a recommendation for a type of doctor to correct a disjointed, my second toe on my right foot, and the second part would be prevention of the other toe, of this happening to the other toes. Okay. It seemed like a spontaneous release of my muscle so that I don't know if I have the right bone. Would it be the metatarsal bone? That's the longer bone and that attaches to the toes?
Right, correct.
Okay, and the second one dropped down. I got up one morning and it was down. So it hurts to walk on it unless I have some kind of little cushion.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure my shoes have some kind of cushion, but it's in the bathtub, for example, I make sure I wear a plastic shoe of some sort so I don't lose balance.
Okay.
Because barefoot, it's hard. And mm-hmm. I'm doing yoga right now. So I just wondered if there's anything. I did go to an orthopedic doctor. He did an exam. He has listened to my, I'm not sure he'd looked at the x-rays either, but he said it would be 2 to 3 months that I'd be off work or laid up, and I would end up with a floppy foot after.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, so that discouraged me.
Yeah, you bet.
That's
Jenny,
discouraging.
Jenny, the second toe that's down, is it the fact that you don't have any power, you can't lift it up, or is it just down and stuck in that position?
Well, I can still move my toes up, but then it's like I had a hammer toe on that.
Yeah, okay.
So the second joint, I guess, closer to my foot is limited, and I can't lift it up very far. But, yeah, I can walk on it, and it almost seems like I move it. But from the x-ray, it looks like the third one's ready to go, too. But now that's been several years. But in the meantime, it still hurts, pressure on the bottom of that.
Sure.
Okay. Well, short of surgery, one thing we encourage you to try is an orthotic that is designed specifically for your feet and for your toes. You know, so going to a foot specialist and have them do a biomechanical evaluation of your foot. And orthotic could help you considerably, at least buy you lots of time before surgery may be necessary down the road. But it might be a good first step to take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
An orthotic in my shoe with a metatarsal pad, and that helps, but that can only be used really in a tennis shoe. It can't be worn in, you know, regular shoes for the office.
Yeah.
Well, there are a number of shoes that are nice shoes that are designed to be in an office that will allow an orthotic. But there are also different kinds of orthotics, and they may be able to fabricate something that maybe isn't quite as effective as the one you wear in your tennis shoes, but that will suffice for to fit in your office shoes. So there are a number of different ways to fabricate an orthotic, and out of different materials, it should be possible to find one or fabricate one that will work in your office shoes as well.
Oh, okay.
Mm. All right.
Do you have any hopes for surgical, correction?
Oh, that would be a last resort. And it sounds like you're functioning fairly well, so I think you're right on when you say, I need to prevent this from happening on my other foot. I need to prevent further decline. If we can just maintain and hold you where you are, you may function for a long time very adequately.
And I wonder, what happened. Of course, my first solution was let's put traction on that toe and pull it out. And the doctor said, no, the other muscle was somehow stronger or overriding it. So is there any strengthening I can do so that the third toe doesn't go?
If you see a therapist for the orthotic, they should be able to, and I'm assuming they would examine you for both flexibility and strength. And yes, there are ways to strengthen the intrinsic muscles in the foot. Lori just described about curling up a towel with your toes. I mean, that's one example. So there's potentially some muscle work, whether it's certain types of stretching or more strengthening, that may help support that part of your foot better. Mm-hmm. So that should be part of your exam along with the orthotic.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Jenny. Appreciate your call. Boy, that's a lot of hard issues that we have to deal with here.
Absolutely.
On the Ideas Network when Lori and Bill come by. And Jim, have you ever had any advice, given any advice or taken any advice?
I've taken a lot of advice from these two over the years.
But Jim,
I'm not sure that it's done me any good because, the body does what it's going to do. And hammer toes come and they don't go away. But I do respect the advice, and I know that every time that they're on, that we're talking about real situations with real people, and the advice that they give applies to so many people. That's why it's such an interesting conversation and why we look forward to seeing them on a monthly basis. And what we do is ask you right now, if you enjoy the kind of programming that you're listening to today and listen to on a regular basis, then support it with a pledge of financial support. And we're recommending to you right now, $10 a month will give you $120 pledge and get you the member benefit card. 238 restaurants have dining benefits that are covered by the card. 48 performance attraction benefits, 15 stores with online shopping benefits, and 52 bed and breakfasts have benefits. Two-night stay for the price of one in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. They don't count holidays, I can tell you that right off the bat. But otherwise, it's a great vehicle for you to recoup the price of your admission to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. So pledge right now at WPR.org or at 800-383-9772.
And we have a big goal of $12,000, and we got about $9,000 to go to reach that goal. And when we reach that goal, when we reach that $12,000 goal, we receive another $1,000 in the form of a challenge grant from the Wisconsin Physical Therapy Therapists Association. So that's very important to us, because if we don't make the goal, we don't get the $1,000. So you can help us. The only way we make the goal really is with your help and with your support. And we've had a couple people call in, or one person called and bought a pair of tickets for the Cajun Cookout at Larry's Bayou. We really appreciate that at a $1,200 contribution. There are 8 pairs of tickets left, or 16 individuals. You could call in for a $600 contribution. We'll give you one ticket to the Cajun Cookout on June 28th in the afternoon. Great food. I'll be there. Gene Faraca, Joy Cardine. We'll have Tim Hall, the Cajun cook, to prepare Cajun deep-fried turkey gumbo, Cajun corn, dirty rice, and sweet potato pecan pie with chantilly cream. I can't wait to dig into that. You would be able to dig into that, too, with a contribution of $600 for an individual or $1,200 for a pair of tickets at 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. It's really important that we make this goal, and maybe there's somebody out there to help us with maybe a $5,000 contribution, or put us over the top with a $10,000 contribution. That'd be wonderful too, Jim.
We'd be happy to hear you ring the phone at 800-383-9772. You may wonder what this money is being used for, and in this case, I heard when I walked in this morning that's more than $1,000 a day is the dues that we pay to National Public Radio. So you can see that this is a very large enterprise, and that 30% of our program budget comes from your phone call. So 800-383-9772 is the number to call. Maybe you can pledge $10 a month. Maybe that's a little bit too much. Maybe you're a first-time caller. We'd be happy to hear from you with a $5 a month pledge. $60 would be fine. Whatever you can afford, whatever's comfortable for you, give us a call at 800-383-9772. We're into the last minutes for this program and this drive today, so we want to hear your call.
At 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. I really do enjoy, I love having Lori and Bill on. They do a great job. You guys listen to public radio as well, do you not?
Absolutely.
All the time.
Yeah.
I'm one of the junkies.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you've contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio
at one time
or another.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, every year, regular contributor.
All right. Well, I tell you what, our guests even contribute, and Jim and I contribute as well.
We do indeed. We're sustaining members.
I think
it's fair to point out that we were sustaining members before we were employed here. At least I was in my case. You've been here so long.
I've been here,
Larry,
so long. We weren't asking for money. weren't asking for money back when I started here on Wisconsin Public Radio. But since we've been asking for support, and, you know, there's a lot of reasons we've had to ask for support, which I don't even want to go into now. The point is that about a third of our operation now is paid for by people just like you. If you appreciate this kind of program, that you hear from 11 to 12:30 every day, you listen to it, you enjoy the great advice you get from people like Lori and Bill, or from Scott Craven, or from all of the great people that we have. Phil Pelletieri the other day on the 100 calls we got, from people asking questions about insects, and we'll deal with that, and we'll fix your house for you too. We have shows on that. In fact, we've got a show on that coming up this week.
This Thursday
we'll talk about how to do some repairs around the home. We talk a lot about wildlife and outdoor issues on Wednesdays, and then there's Garden Talk on Friday. Certainly a very popular program. Garden Talk shows throughout the year. Bill and Lori are here throughout the year. Jim and I are here every day, aren't we, Jim?
We are indeed, Larry.
5 days a week we're on live. Jim's putting the shows together and does shows when I'm not here. I'm here most of the time, and I really do enjoy the show, because I learn a lot, too, over the course of a year. I get a lot. You'd be amazed at the number of questions people bring up to me about everything from the house to pets to whatever, because they assume that I might know. And sometimes I do. because I pick up a lot. If you pick up a lot, learn a lot, maybe there's something that's happened on this show that has helped you, give us a call now at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Got $9,000 to go to reach that goal of 12,000. We can still do it. We've got about 5.5 minutes to go. We can do it with your help. Some major contributions would help, but any amount is great. If you can afford a $5,000 contribution, great. If you can afford a $1,200 contribution, great. If you can afford a $120 contribution, that's great too. Whatever the amount, it's just important that you call in. I think Phil Corvo was on the show the other day and talking about really getting up to 5,000.
5,500.
5,500, is that it? We wanted 5,500 people to call in during this drive. It didn't make any difference how much they contributed. If you've never contributed before, it would be wonderful for you to call in now. I'm looking here. We've had over half of our callers so far on this show are new contributors and never contributed before, and that's great. I'd love to hear from more of you if you've never contributed or maybe you haven't contributed in a long time. What a great time to do it right now to help us reach that goal and to then get our extra $1,000 from the Wisconsin Physical Therapists Association. The number, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org.
Or maybe you're someone like Barbara in Menominee Falls who says, I listen to it every day and I love the programming. And if you love the programming, then you listen to the station, you decide to give, and you make the decision to decide how much to give. And all you have to do is call, and one of our friendly volunteers, who is also someone who is pledged financially, will answer the phone, and it'll be just a minute or so, and you'll be on your way. You pledge at 800-383-9772 or WPR.org, and be sure to pick up on the member benefit card if you can. $10 a month gets you a $120 pledge, and we'll send you the card that you'll be pleased to carry because it contains dining benefits, performing attractions benefits, online shopping benefits, and bed and breakfast benefits at 52 locations in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota, and it's growing larger every drive, it seems, so it's a more valuable card the longer we go. So why not make sure you get your card with a $10 a month pledge, or pledge whatever you can at 800-383-9772.
And we're looking for some. We've got about $8,000, a little over $8,000 to go to reach our goal and about 3 minutes or so to do it. So we could use some more of those $1,200 contributions. That's for sure. We'll put you on board Larry's Cajun cookout.
That's right.
At the old bayou on the Mueller House. The old bayou at the Mueller House there is, I tell you what, we're ready to go. Renee's already said, got to start cleaning the house. I said, yeah, it's one of those great times. You always get the house cleaned when you have guests, and we'll have 40 people or so visiting with us.
You know, dancing on your new outdoor patio will be just a wonderful. I wish I was going to be there, really. I'm going to be in West Virginia with What Do You Know, or I would be there. But it's going to be a great party, and you're not going to want to miss it. If you have a chance to make your pledge, and if you can afford $600 or $1,200, you or the two of you would be able to come. There's only 8 pairs or 16 spots left at the table, and so we need to hear from you at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org.
Give us a call right now. We've got 2 minutes to go before the end of the program. The last couple of minutes for you to contribute during this hour and help us out. Help us reach that goal and make that extra $1,000 in our pocket from the Wisconsin Physical Therapists Association. Love to hear from you. No matter what the amount, it'd be great to have some $1,200 contributions right now, or even larger, $5,000, $10,000. That'd be great, too. We want to meet that goal, and we've got about $8,000 to go to meet the goal. So with your help, we can do it. Lori and Bill are going to be back next month. I'm certain of that. We'll be talking some more about physical therapy issues. Tomorrow, I know, we'll be talking about birds with Laura Erickson of Cornell University. Laura has been a great friend of ours. Lots of good shows. We love the shows that we do. I hope you like them, too. Call us now at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Thanks to everybody who's contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, you've still got a minute to go. So call in right now, 800-383-9772. And thanks for listening.